morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. I am Yada. Each weekday here on GCN, we strive to expose the destructive myths associated with religion and politics, with patriotism in the media, and with military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news, our mission is to understand what is actually occurring while predicting how the events described will shape our world. Then during our second hour, we will engage God on His terms through evidence and reason, since His is the lone credible voice in an extremely troubled world. Our phone number, for those listening who would like to participate in this discussion, is 877-300-7645. I am almost speechless with a story that has not only been reported by the Guardian newspaper in the UK, but has been confirmed by the White House. The NSA, which is the National Security Agency, is collecting telephone records of tens of millions of Americans. Not on tens of Americans, not on hundreds of Americans, not on thousands of Americans, not on 10,000 Americans, on tens of millions of Americans, according to the UK's Guardian. They have a secret court order directing, ordering, demanding, forcing Verizon to hand over data on its customers on an ongoing basis. Tens of millions of Verizon customers have had their privacy compromised by a secret court order that was requested by the Obama White House. The White House, when asked about this, defended the practice, saying it was a critical security tool. The U.S. needs, according to the Obama administration, needs the information to protect against terrorist threats. This according to an unnamed Obama administration individual talking to the Associated Press.
Are these the same threats that they keep giving weapons to and supporting?
You know, it is when you tie this into the ongoing practice of this administration and the one previous to it, where the terrorist threat against America has been completely disassociated with Islam, totally and completely. I mean, even the FBI training manuals and investigation tools don't even mention Islam as the source of terrorism, even though it's responsible for 99.9% of terrorist acts around the world. And then you take it from there, which is, by the way, why the FBI didn't recognize their own suspect and had to release the film for other Americans to figure out who the bombers were in Boston. But you take it from there to the Obama administration's labeling of the Benghazi attacks, which they knew for certain were perpetrated by Ansar Sharia, the Friends of Sharia Law, a fundamentalist Islamic group, blaming it instead, even weeks later at the United Nations, after it was known for certain that it wasn't true, on an extremist movie produced by a Christian. You now find a country that is absolutely at war with anyone who doesn't acquiesce to the ruling elite's view. This is a country at war with itself. And the thing that is so sad to me is that while it's obvious that this is a country that has lost its way, that's a country that is spying on itself, it doesn't trust itself. And when you see that kind of thing, what you recognize is that the individuals who are the leaders are paranoid. They know they're evil. They know that there's people out to expose and condemn them. And because of that, they want to be able to preclude them being able to expose them in this way. And the reason that the whole movement has been away from describing what is happening rationally, intelligently, as we have been besieged with Islamic terrorism, and the threat of Islamic terrorism reigns supreme in this country, that we're going to call it extremism instead, and then to thwart the extremist attacks of extremists, we're going to start spying on Americans by the tens of thousands. The information is needed. Interesting in this particular case that the authorization to spy on tens of millions of Americans falls under the Patriot Act. I love it when these kinds of things coalesce. I have done everything I can to assure people that being patriotic is counterproductive. Now, here in the Patriot Act is where the authorization was found to spy on Americans. Yes, Scott.
I'm reading the story right now, and I like that the court that gave the order is the Secret Foreign Intelligence Service Court, Surveillance Court.
Correct. So we actually have a court. Now, courts are supposed to be open places where justice can be found, where evidence and reason are applied, and everyone has their opportunity to present their case and to defend themselves. And yet the United States, as a result of the Patriot Act, has created a court that is a secret court for intelligence surveillance. And what did this Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court do? Talk about not playing by its own rules.
It granted on Americans, on our
side. There you go. You know, it's we have a government that no longer plays by the rules. You know, it spends money it does not have. It affords its lawmakers pensions and health care that the average American does not enjoy. It can opt out of any court case that it doesn't want to be sued. It is playing by an entirely different set of rules. If someone kills somebody in this country, without due process, they'll go to jail. But the President of the United States has killed several people a day on average without any due process through his use of drones. You know, we claim to be at war with this mythical enemy called Al-Qaeda, and yet we go kill them without any due process. We say, we're at war with you, so we can go kill you. But when they strike back, we don't treat them as military combatants, do we? Where's the hypocrisy in all of this?
It's pretty apparent. The thing that I don't like is that they play all their games and they do other things with taxpayer money.
Of course, they steal your money and then secretly undermine every freedom and right that you have granted by the Constitution.
And now more so than ever in my lifetime, they've made it so there's a definite class warfare to where,
yes, apparently, productive people are bad.
Apparently, if you have started a business, made a lot of money, that makes you an evil person.
That is correct. And they need to confiscate your money so they themselves can do good works, which include spying on people, robbing them of their liberties, and killing people without due process.
Yeah, I don't have a ton of money, but I myself know that I like the money I have, and I like that people have the money that they have. You know, I don't want anybody taking more from me, and I don't want to take anything more from them.
Yeah, whatever happened to the idea of being personally responsible?
Well, that went out the window long ago.
Well, I guess so. This order was signed by Roger Vinson, and he is of the Secret Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, which by its very name should not have jurisdiction over tens of millions of Americans. And the order is that Verizon must hand over all of the telephone numbers, all of the serial numbers of the phones themselves, all of the information regarding calls, the times calls were made, the place that they were made, the duration, of the calls. It's one of the problems with cell phones is that we have moved into a period where the technology tracks the individual. So, you know, now criminals know that if you're going to perpetrate a crime, the thing that you do is you turn off your cell phone or you leave your cell phone behind because you can be tracked by your cell phone. The average American doesn't know, though, that their government is tracking them, monitoring them, spying on them by use of their cell phone. It is, by the way, where the world is going. The United States is headed down this path. It's going to be almost universal electronic control. We're going to be electronic prisoners through not only just the cell phones in this particular case, which this enables the government to track the movement and activities of Americans, which is why they're doing it. But soon, it will be total control over your money. Now, at this point, we have class warfare, where we have declared war on those who are successful so that more and more Americans can become dependent. Those who are dependent are easy to control. That's why the government is doing it. We are going to move, however, from just class warfare and thwarting the ability of successful, productive Americans from being productive. When you confiscate their earnings, as is being done now on a wide scale, they can no longer be productive. That will make the country more and more failed economically, which will create more and more dependence, which the government can completely control. You know, this most recent tax increase that went into effect the other day and beginning of the year, much of what was done clandestinely in secret. For example, the best way to prevent damage to your own savings by this government's malfeasance of its currency, the Fed and the government spending beyond its means, grossly beyond its means, and increasing the national debt to over $17 trillion, and the Fed using QE3 and other means to inflate the money supply, is to own gold. And yet in this particular act in January, buried way down deep in the minutia, is a special tax on those who own gold. Yes, if you own gold, you're going to be taxed at about 15% more on your savings, on your earnings, than if your earnings were in any other way. In other words, they're going to say, if you're trying to protect yourself against us, we're after you. We'll be returned in a moment. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yetta. During the break, I've been talking to Scott, actually, about the second story that I shared with you about the manipulation behind the scenes of the tax code so that anyone who is actually attempting to protect themselves against the malfeasance of our government's destruction of its currency and of its economy by owning gold, that your earnings on gold are now confiscated at a much higher rate than any other investment. And the thing that is so disgusting about this. Not only was it not announced, not only was there no disclosure by Washington that they were doing this, not only was there no debate on it. In the case of anyone who's owned gold over the last 5 to 10 years to serve as a means to protect themselves against the malfeasance of our government and against the malfeasance of the Federal Reserve, they've made their earnings on gold based upon a set of rules. You know that if you make an investment, you hold it for a long period of time, you're subjected to long-term capital gains, and you know what the tax rates are, and you know what the terms and conditions are, and you make investments based upon the rules. And then when they retroactively change the rules, which they did in this case, so that all of the earnings that anyone has made on gold in over this period of time, based upon the rules that existed, well, those rules don't exist anymore. And so your earnings are going to be confiscated at a rate that did not exist during the time you made the investment decision. The reason that this is so much of a problem is that if you look at the most modern case where this kind of wanton disregard for the rule of law existed, was in Argentina. And in Argentina, you had to take wheelbarrows of money to the grocery store to buy bread. And it's because they constantly change the rules. And if the rules constantly change, and if they become more egregious as you go along, what you end up doing is you preclude people from making investments. When you preclude people from making investments and you cause them to say, I'm taking my capital out of the country because of this malfeasance, then what you end up achieving is a completely bankrupt economic system. You know, there's a reason that Apple keeps the majority of its capital outside the United States. They know that the interest that they have earned on their capital is not only taxed at a lower rate outside the United States, but they're less likely to have this kind of malfeasance perpetrated against them. This is devastating when a country does this.
This scares me for numerous reasons. One, it fits right into everything that our government has been doing. They made it to where investing in things, which is something that you have to plan for and you actually have to have the money to do. So you probably save money to do, you know, things like that. They now make it so they're telling people that you shouldn't save, you shouldn't invest.
Mm-hmm.
Which then, I mean, obviously, if you don't invest, nothing moves forward in an economic world.
Correct.
Which just means that slowly we're going to slide further and further down.
Yeah, particularly they increase the capital gains rate now upwards to 20%, and then they put a surcharge on investments that are hedges against economic malfeasance by the government. And so the moment you raise long-term capital gains rates, your economic future is destroyed. It's the single worst thing that you can do to the economy is that. The second worst thing you can do is increase business taxation, which this administration has also done, particularly when businesses were already taxed at the highest rate of any industrialized country in the world. I mean, he has deliberately done to our economy, this administration, this Congress. I mean, you can blame the Republicans too, because they had to sign off on this.
Well, it's our government.
Yeah, our government. The Republicans and Democrats that comprise our government in Congress and in the White House have deliberately passed legislation that is destined, absolutely certain, to destroy the economic future of this country. And yet we're paying them for it. We have no means to say, you know, I don't want to play. I don't want to give you my money. I am opposed to what you're doing. And yet we have absolutely no freedom to oppose them.
Yeah. Well, if you do that, then they'll take all your freedoms.
Yes. All your money and all your freedoms. Absolutely.
Put you in an 8x9 cell or something.
Yeah. You know, one of these days, the average American needs to stop being so comatose. You know, in a very related issue, when the Boston bombers were able to bomb because their government failed us, what did the Americans do? Rather than being mad at their government, they went and rallied and sang songs, God Bless America and the Star Spangled Banner, which was the opposite response that should have been expressed. We're bringing this on ourselves. We have only ourselves to blame. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. You can join in this discussion by calling 877-300-7645. It is a toll-free call. The United States is not the only country that is undermining its own future, that is robbing its citizens of their earnings, their wealth, constraining their productivity, and constraining their freedoms. A country literally working against its own citizens. In the European Union, there was a meeting earlier this week where EU member states have been told that they can now slow the pace of their austerity cuts. You see, in the European Union, you're officially not allowed to have annual deficits at greater than 3% of gross domestic product. Now, by the way, the United States annualized deficit is almost 10% of gross domestic product. So we're three times greater than the maximum allowed by the European Union. So the European Union said, you know, countries, you can spend much more than you take in, so long as is the difference between what you spend and what you receive isn't greater than 3% of gross domestic product. But, you know, because we really want all of these economies to falter and everyone to become dependent, which means we have absolute control over everyone, which means we've returned Europe to the feudal serf lord conditions that existed for so many hundreds of years, go ahead, spend a little more money. So EU member states have been told that don't worry so much about those austerity cuts. No, let's work on growth instead. Job creation. It sounds so good, doesn't it? So France, Spain, Poland, Portugal, the Netherlands, and Slovenia, in addition, of course, to Italy and Greece, so many of them are being given more time to rack up larger deficits and to become ever more dependent on bankers. The result of all this, who is the primary advocate in Europe now for let's spend more money, let's if we, governments spend more money, we'll create more jobs and everything will be wonderful? The communist that heads France. Well, he told his benefactor, the only one that's keeping France afloat at the moment, which is Germany, he said that Angela Merkel's dictate on reforms cannot influence France. France will not be told what to do. Meanwhile, France's unemployment rate jumped to the highest level in two decades. It is the only thing that François Hollande, the communist leader of France, used to differentiate himself from his opponent was that, I'll put Frenchmen back to work again. Well, he's been in office, what now, a year and a half? 2 years? France's unemployment rate at the highest level in decades. Nice job, François. Reuters is saying that the drop in U.S. government spending, and by the way, U.S. government spending did not decrease. The rate of increase decreased, but the amount of government spending did not decrease. But the drop in, so let's change this so it's worded accurately so that the Reuters mistake is cleaned up. The drop in the rate of increase in government spending dragged more on the U.S. economy than initially thought in the first 3 months of the year. Although consumer spending looked relatively resilient to Washington's austerity drive. So now Washington is considered to be on an austerity drive because it is increasing its spending at a decreased rate. And yet it is still spending about $1 trillion more than it takes in. But spending $1 trillion more than you receive is considered to be austere. Stunning, isn't it? How far away we are from rational thinking. You know, while this president continues to conduct his war on those who are successful, on those who are productive, there are the majority of Americans who have been beguiled into believing that the rich are able to weasel their way out of taxes when, in fact, they pay an overwhelming majority of the taxes in the United States. What's more, their tax share burden is increasing. The top 10% of taxpayers paid over 71% of the total amount collected in federal income tax in 2010. Now, this was before Obama succeeded in imposing his war against the wealthy, the most productive Americans. So back in 2010, 10% of Americans paid 71% of the federal taxes. Now, that means that 90% of Americans are the ones who are not paying their fair share. They paid 29%. Of the taxes. 90% paid 29%, 10% paid 71%. That's up for the top 10%, 55% since 1986. That's how egregious this country has been. And what has happened since 1986? The economy has collapsed. It's exactly what was destined to happen by this move. Those who perpetrated this act by removing the tax burden entirely from more than half of Americans, so they contribute nothing, and then confiscating ever higher percentages of earnings from those who are productive, when you did that, you were certain to plunge the country into recession. A 55% change since 1986. Less than 20 years. Oh, a little over 20 years, excuse me. Landscape change in America, all destructive. And it's far worse now because the rates have gone from not only from 35% to 39% starting in January, capital gains rates increased by a third. And on top of all of that, you've got the Obama Health Care Act that taxes the those who are productive ever more. And then you have all of these secret tax increases they just didn't, no debate on, just put into the law that will affect those who are the most productive. I suspect they want the 10% of Americans that are the most productive to pay 100% of the taxes. It was 71 in 2010, probably a little over 80% now, based upon the most recent war on those who are productive. It's not a very far step from 80% to 100%. So what happens when those who are productive are having their ever more of their earnings stolen by the government, confiscated by the government, a government doing things that are counterproductive to them and to all of Americans? What's going to happen? It's easy to predict. They're going to say, there's no reason for me to pull this cart. There's no reason for me to labor. There's no reason for me to invest my capital. And when that happens, then what? All you've got left is the government. But the government is a parasite. Doesn't produce, it consumes. And the only way the government, under those circumstances, can coddle the dependent is to continually inflate its currency, which will cause its currency to become worthless in very short order. That is where we're headed. This particular article says the remaining 90% bore just under 30% of the 29% actually of the tax burden. The 47% of Americans pay hardly anything at all. Actually, now it's up to 53% of Americans pay nothing. There has been a huge myth created that the rich aren't paying their fair share, said William McBride, the Tax Foundation's chief economist. The rich pay a much higher rate than those who are not rich. They don't pay their fair share. They pay grossly more than their fair share. And the tax code is getting what's called more progressive, more burdensome on those who are productive. What we have created is an economic state where we punish success and we reward failure. When you do that, what are you going to get? Less success and more failure. And when that happens, then what? You get total anarchy, which is where America is headed, and it's not going to take very long. We have other news. The UN tribunal now has found six Bosnian Croat leaders guilty of war crimes and crimes against humanity. Now, the Bosnians are mostly Muslims. They were the ones who teamed up with Nazi Germany in World War II. They, under the guidance of the world's leading Islamic cleric, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, created the Waffen-SS units that oversaw the genocide of 800,000 Serbian Christians. Now, it's interesting, of course, that the United States went to war on behalf of the Bosnian Muslims when Christians, Armenian Christians, Serbian Christians, I should say, were defending themselves and seeking a little revenge for the genocide of 800,000 of their citizens and this stealing of their property and assets. Well, in this particular case, don't think that the Bosnian Croats are being found guilty of war crimes for killing Christians, because the UN would applaud that. No, these were convicted of murdering Bosnian Muslims and other non-Croats in their plan to create an ethnic Croat state in Bosnia. The Croats are the were predominantly Roman Catholics. They leagued with the Nazi Muslims to perpetrate that genocide. Many of the murderers were not only Roman Catholic Croats, but the Roman Catholic Church, even in Rome, aided and abetted the genocide. It's one of the most troubled stories in recent history. The group was called the Ustasis. I would encourage you to read about what they have done. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. The European Union is also playing games. Here is an individual, and I don't know the particular individual. I guess he's Mr. Haig. But he says that the European Union needs a red card system. He's talking now about soccer. You know, there's a red card and a yellow card. Red card, you're thrown out of the game. A yellow card, there's a penalty. The European Union needs a red card system for national parliaments to block laws passed by Brussels, which would be the head of the EU, if they think that that EU officials are going too far. This is a UK foreign secretary. So the one nation in the European family that has said, you know, this whole European integration and the euro and all of the loss of sovereignty is probably a bad thing. In fact, they're even considering opting out of the EU, although Obama is saying, no, we want one world order, so no, you can't do that, and is lecturing the Brits to stay in the European Union, even though they don't participate in the currency. Well, they're saying, hey, you know, maybe for us to consider playing, then right now all we have is a yellow card to make the European Commission reconsider laws that they impose. But he says for us to consider our ongoing participation, that would have to change to a red card system where we can actually reject a law. Yesterday, President Barack Obama did something that tells you that I was right when I said nothing was going to happen with the disclosures relative to Benghazi. In an informed, rational, judgmental world, Obama would have been impeached over the malfeasance related to Benghazi. He would have been thrown out of office because of the fact that he told the American military to stand down while Americans were dying, while he went to sleep when Americans were being attacked, that when it was absolutely certain that the attack had been perpetrated by the very terrorists that his administration, with help from I Just Love a War, John McCain, had supported using American weapons to attack Americans in Benghazi, he chose to instead knowingly and deliberately lie and blamed the attack on a Christian movie, The Innocence of Muslims. That combination of events, where the President of the United States deliberately, purposefully, knowingly lied on an issue this extraordinary, should have caused him to be impeached. The principal agent that the President used to perpetrate his lie was Susan Rice. Well, President Barack Obama chose close confidant Susan Rice as his new national security advisor on Wednesday. What this says is that the hearings on Benghazi, which were stunningly damaging to the credibility of Barack Obama and his administration, and particularly also to Susan Rice, they in fact don't matter. America doesn't care. Americans have become comatose. They no longer have a moral backbone. And so this man could take the very tool he used to perpetrate this lie and make her a national security advisor. That was about the same thing as saying in the war against Nazi Germany, that what FDR should have done is bring Goebbels in to be his head of military operations. Americans, you've just been screwed. He said of Susan Rice, she is the consummate public servant, a patriot who puts her country first. Actually, Susan Rice is known as a hothead, an individual who cares about one thing, Susan Rice, and only Susan Rice. He said that she was a fierce champion for justice and human dignity. No, she's a champion for lies. She's a champion for all things that would remove dignity. She is an agent of deceit. She is morally bankrupt. She is everything that is wrong with America, all boiled and boiled up in one individual. And thumbing his nose at Americans, at the truth, at morality, this grotesquely immoral president named her a national security advisor. Rice was selected to replace Tom Donilon in the post and is expected to play a high-profile role in defending Obama's foreign policy, particularly on the civil war in Syria. He doesn't have a policy on the war in Syria. There is no policy that can be defended in the war on Syria. Making matters worse, Obama will nominate Samantha Power, who is also an extraordinarily corrupt individual, to Rice's position at the United Nations. It is a sad day in America. We'll return to Shattering Mess and Considered Yahweh's Solution in a moment.